Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, this is another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC here, and I have a special guest with me today, French George. How are you doing today?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Tell the audience what you do, a little about yourself, and your overall passion.
My name is Prince George. I'm a comic book artist, writer, producer, spokesman, etc. with a company called Warzone Comics.
Okay. And then today's topic is going to be it's going to be comics, how it's impacted through a media exchange. So comics in different mediums. And Prince George is an antidote for that episode.
For me, like, I've started out as a comic book artist. Just as much as any of my team has started out as a comic book artist. I've been with Warzone Comics the whole time it's been around. So, like, for over 20 years. And, you know, sometimes it's a career. It's fun. It's stress relieving. And it opens doors. It's also a great icebreaker for people. Like, I can literally say, like because we're a comic book artist or a comic book company, it transitioned us from doing comics to television, radio, movies, everything else. So, you know, it's a great icebreaker. It's helped you in other mediums, especially when you're doing film, like, because all of art, like all movies are generally used storyboard for movies. And as a comic book artist, as a comic book company, it helped because you're a comic book artist, you can use the comic book itself as a storyboard to technically do video games and movies and other things and move around, particularly.
True. And I have been in TV and film myself. The storyboarding process is very tedious. So taking a comic book, because it's already divided into chapters or panels, actually works a good visual that a director can use and replacement in lieu of storyboards. So storyboards is the action per shot, what is happening in the scene, if there's any dialogue or any sound in the background or on tape itself. So play too. So all of that is by shot. Everyone is planned. A 5-minute walk down a park can be 25 panels just for storyboarding, depending what is happening along that walk in 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
So, like, immersive of how much you actually, like, draw in the panel, like a comic book panel, to actually tell you what is going on. Some are very short, some are very detailed, some are in the middle. It all depends.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree with that.
And what has comic books as a artist that you really liked? Is it the storytelling, the drawing, the coloring, or illustration?
I love everything, but also like the team building, like in a sense. Because, like, don't get me wrong, like doing the art part, doing the stories, storyboarding, like, you know, all of it collectively is a great thing, but also team building, because like no one person is an island and stuff, right? So like building a team to build a project based off your art, you know, you meet interesting people, you talk to different people, everybody have different interests, come from different backgrounds, different life things, but all connect because you guys are artists of some sort. Kind of like it's the funniest thing ever. Like again, like you just I just love every aspect of it.
True. Comic books for me have been interesting because the shows that I used to watch as a kid were based off comics. Teen Titans, Yu-Gi-Oh, Static Shock, Spider-Man. Like, there was different shows that I watched that were based either off of comic material or a graphic novel or a visual novel of some sort.
Like I basically all of your a lot of your TV shows, movies,
It was
video,
dope.
all based off of either a comic book or a book. Like for example, like if you know anything about Spawn is based off of a comic book. The Walking Dead is based off of a comic book. All of it based up, you know, like even like you know when you watch what is it Stranger Things, if I'm not mistaken, is based off of a comic book or a book itself. So like all of it is based off books. So if you technically have a good any fascination for a comic book or a book in general, it's just a great medium to turn to any other medium and turn into any other medium for the most part.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of direct adaptations from comic, from story to movie or TV show in many different aspects in pop culture. Heroes is a very interesting story mechanism and storytelling. It's all based off the hero's journey. A classic storytelling movie style or TV that always gets redone every single time. Because of the fact it's so easy to relate to, you have one bad guy, or you have several bad guys, but they're under the main bad guy, or you have the one team that is the heroes, or you have the hero and the support team that goes along with it.
All right.
So there's different origins to different heroes, there's different backgrounds to explore, and there's different struggles of why the hero. Some are the hentai hero. Some are the classic hero. Some are just in between, like a vigilante. So there's different styles to write them, and that's why the hero's journey is so reflective in media, because you can relate to the character. You know exactly what to expect. Oh, they have an origin story. Okay, how did they adapt to the hero antics? You know, they have super. Or do they train themselves to fight without superpowers? Are they a street level threat to a universal threat? You know, what is the
There's
power?
three types of heroes for the most part, and I would say like they're the heroes like Superman who were born heroes, and they knew they're heroes from the very beginning. They just had to learn how to use their powers from the very beginning, to in order to not kill people for the most part, or choose
Selfish.
not and stuff. You have people like Batman who because of unfortunate events chose to be a hero for the most part. And then you have my character, Bugsy. And he was chosen to be a hero. He didn't choose to be a hero. He wasn't born a hero. He wasn't chosen. He didn't choose to be a hero. He wasn't born a hero. He was chosen to be a hero.
True.
And so, yeah.
With your experience with Bugsy, how did it come out for inspiration for his character?
Just hanging out with friends, like you know, you just want to be entertained. Like when you're a kid, you know, you're messing around. All of you guys are artists. You're joking around, and then too, like you know, when you're in class, the idea of passing notes between friends. You know, when you pass notes between friends in class, right? And you
Yeah.
want to ask questions and joke around and for shits and giggles. Right, so me and my buddies just always technically when we pass notes instead of just passing a typical note, we have to technically pass comic strips. We have to sit there and draw comic strips. So we'll draw Bugsy or I'll either draw myself or Bugsy, or other, we'll draw other characters, and we'll like we're sitting in math class and we don't understand a math question or anything else, or whatever the else going on in the class, and we'll sit there and just draw comic strips and be like what the fuck, like and shit and stuff, and asking because of questions, but. Cause you know sometimes the class sometimes be boring. You kind of be like, damn, like ah, I gotta be in the class for like over an hour, and I'm sitting there like just, and what am I freaking mind? So you tend to get to find ways to entertain yourself, and we sit next to each other, it'd be like okay, cool, we're just passing notes. But if people in between us, it'd be entertaining to them too, cause they'll tend to get used to it. Like I'll be like, hey, pass this to such and such. Or they'll pass a note to me or whoever. And people will sit there and be sitting there reading their comic strips and sitting there like cracking up laughing and stuff. And
Oh,
which either
my God.
you know, either it'd be funny because they'll tend to get entertained by it and we'll still get the note. But sometimes it either gets you either popular with the student, or it gets you popular with the students and some of the teachers, or gets you in trouble because they were like the teacher would be like, okay, here's your note back, but they were like, come get it after class. And they all sit there cracking up themselves, like, yo, like, don't be doing that. They're doing that. Or they sit there and laugh about it. You like, dude, like in your class is like, yeah, you know, just
I mean, yeah, that's interesting because there's not as much note gathering as it was back in the day. Entertainment value, when you're in a class that you don't understand, I mean, there's really not a lot going on. You either pay attention, be bored, or make your own fun. What you did was make your own fun. And that's the purpose for entertainment. If you're not able to make something enjoyable, make it fun. What is the point of necessarily doing it every single day if there's not a an entertainment value to it, If there's not something to make it worth forward to go to, then it's not worth doing.
yeah, and then too, like when we started, we were kids. So like out, we was like 14, 15 years old, sitting in like second year of high school. You know, we sitting in summer school just because, not because you need summer school. You just sitting there like want to hang out with friends, and you're like, damn, I'm sitting here. I could be at the pool swimming, but I'm sitting in your class. I'm sitting in the class like learning something. I don't hate learning, but you kind of be like, damn. Or you're sitting in the class, period, and you'd be like, damn, okay. You know, but, and then too, I believe like, and then too, it was kind of too, like, you know, we used to read comic books a lot, right? And there are very few characters at the time, at least, that we can, that, I mean, I can relate to the Spider-Mans and the Batmans and stuff, right? And some characters. But at the time too, there wasn't a lot of characters that looked like me in comics back then, or it wasn't really popular in comics or whatever, that wasn't sidekicks and stuff, that weren't either sidekicks or they made like a couple movies about, right? And so we just technically just developed characters that we felt like, you know, that we can relate to within ourselves. And stuff, and everybody else technically liked it too, and stuff. So,
Yeah, and it's typical inspiration. If you don't see it in the entertainment sector, just make it. Make it so you want people to see it. Make your vision into reality. Make it a property, and just see where it goes. And that is most the critical story to any artist, to any comic book person. They want their own image in the sector that they are passionate, but they don't see it, and they allow themselves to create it into vision, into reality, and actually make it apparent that it is something worth care about to warrant attention from audience to like the property, to like the character, to like the story.
but then too, the original movie, this movie, we made a movie project Bugsy recently, but we previously made a previous version of the movie project Bugsy. And The Bugman, we wanted to make a movie back in 2005, the movie Bugsy, but at the time it was also part of a show called The King Show with our mentor, my mentor, Possessor Da Vinci, right? And don't get me wrong, we was gonna make a movie at some point. We had a script and everything else, but partially like the us getting into production was to market the movie product to the characters that we know as the company Warzone Comics and the character Bugsy, right? But we also did it to help other people. We also helped did it to help other people and other companies too and stuff. So it became a door, an entry door to help other people too and stuff.
Okay. So when Bugsy, I'm guessing you were following the production notebook process. You did a pitch, you had a script ready, you had the comic pages as your storyboard.
No, what happened was my mentor used to do a TV, a cable show, which we still do. We did too eventually at some point. But like, no, my mentor always wanted to do movies in Hollywood. You know, we see movies on TV or on big screen, right? And my mentor started a production company, wanted to start a production company to start shooting movies. Although we did like have access to television shows or TV shows, he wanted to branch off into movies. And to be honest, we technically was like, okay, we can help you with that. So, you know, being nerds that we are as being Warzone Comics, we technically investigated how to go about helping him form a production company to start shooting movies. And the process of helping him form a production company, we have to also form a production company in order to learn how to do it, to learn how to do it, right? Some experience we didn't have before. And when we formed our company, when we went back and gave information to him to form the part of the company he wanted to form to film movies. But we also, like, in the process, people acknowledge that, oh, you guys can produce movies too and stuff. And we was kind of like, oh, great. They're like, well, if you wanted to produce a movie, what would you produce as a movie project? And we was like, oh, Bugsy? And it was like, so like, okay, cool. So what is the Bugsy movie? And I'm kind of like, oh, damn, that's a great question. Well, by the way, I have a script right here. I have a script that I have right here. And found people who was had the same interest that we had, like as actors and performers and things of that nature, and filmed the initial movie. But for us, it was like a for us, although it gave us attention in industry initially, it was our short. So we just went back and wrote sequels and prequels recently of the actual movie project and other stuff.
Gotcha. Okay, so you were fortunate to have someone that had a creative mind that could get you in connection with the movie, making it, and then giving you guys the experience you want to, launch the project. So, from Warzone Comics, how was Bugsy first before that, or was there another founding foundation for that?
Oh no, Warzone Comics was an idea. Like, and Warzone Comics has always been an idea. We formed the idea of Warzone Comics in 1997 when we were like in our first year of high school initially, right? And that's when we created Bugsy 2 and stuff. So we created the cup that will become the company years later and the character for the characters at the same time. And so we technically just was again messing around as kids, like, okay, this is what if we did form a company, this is what where our company would be, right? Being fans of other companies, other characters. So we understood the idea of how characters and companies and brands of or become brand kind of worked, sort of, kind of. And we just technically did that. And then again, when we got older, that kind of opened the door for us to formulate everything else.
Gotcha. Okay. So, going back to the math class is the foundation of Warzone Comics.
Yep, pretty much.
Having teachers laugh, have the students laugh, you guys laughing. That's a really good story.
And then too, like, you know how when you know how back in school you have two blackboards in two different parts of the room, right?
Yeah, I remember those blackboards going right
We used
down.
to draw our logo on. We drew our logo what would become words on comics on one of the blackboards. So it's a big logo on one of the blackboards. And one of the at first they used to erase it off the board until one day the teacher was like, "We're not gonna." They started erasing it off of the book, one of the blackboards, and started using the other blackboard. And it was kind of like, "Oh, damn, we have a reach now." Because like the teachers, like. We didn't even put up a fight after a while. Like, oh shit, okay, that's on that wall, that's on that blackboard. So we're gonna use the other blackboard. And it was kind of like, okay, is that what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Like, people start knowing us. So we've developed recently, like recent years, when Facebook came out, and we developed a Facebook page, and we put up the character Bugsy on Facebook. Everybody who knew, like some of us knew us. Start flooding to the pages, not because we had our name on the page, but they knew the character already.
Okay, so you had a pre-foundation in the school, people that recognized because you always passed the notes and recognized the symbols and the character that you drew. Okay, I mean, fan recognition for something they are familiar with is huge in the industry. If they're going to be familiar with your character or introduce new people to it, they are more than likely to introduce someone else if they become as a fan.
Yep.
How usually established characters go. Superman or someone like Buzzy has that pre-recognition of someone that, oh, I know that character. This is the character that does this. Oh, hey, they just have something that came out with this character. Let's go watch it. Then they have a group of 2 to 5 people watching the, I guess, the movie, the chapter, or the project itself, releasing the content for the vision of the character.
Or people when we first started as a company out while we was developing the book, we started developing shirts, like sort of like what I have. We started developing shirts and people start wearing it. People start ordering them and wearing them before we even developed the what was in the process of developing the first book. And people start wearing it. So like we kind of was like, oh, people will start wearing it and people ask questions like, what is that and who is that? And you know. So we just this homegrown, like people start knowing the character on on social media and off. That's cool.
Well, here's one thing about vintage shirts. When you print them, there's
Say it
going
again.
that wants them because people like buying clothes. They like to buy what they want to wear. They put in an outfit. But if it's cool enough shirt design in the merchandise, then you can actually have the pre-recognition in the marketing by actually having it associated with the t-shirt design.
Yep.
So, I mean, printing shirts and making a cause or making something known is a classic way to do it and has been done multiple times.
Yep.
Now, you know, back in the day when they did stories, they might have not been able to design well, like a printing press and graphics, but now that we have graphics and tees, you have easy shirt production that can easily work, do the workload to sell the shirts or the merchandise.
Yeah, you know.
I think it's interesting that Bugsy has become such a beloved character with the pre-recognition of the drawing and the merchandise. What is your favorite part about Bugsy himself?
I believe like I believe that the character outside of just being the character himself and the way he looks and the way he the, and stuff like that or whatever. I think realistically, it teaches people about acceptance. Sometimes we can have a blessing in our face sometimes, right? And because it doesn't look a certain way, it doesn't come in a specific package, or it doesn't sound a certain way. that we don't always believe that it's a blessing for us, right? Or can help us, right? And I believe like that's the same goal, like with Bugsy. Remember I said that Bugsy didn't choose to be a hero, and he wasn't born a hero. He was chosen to be a hero, meaning somebody seen something in him that he didn't see in himself, right? And instead of denying the idea, well, he did, he tried to, but like initially, like he eventually accepted the calling of who he was meant to technically be, right? And from that, it grew into what we now know as the Bugsy stories, right? The Bugsy saga or the Bugsy stories. But it's just an example of like something to us. Like, sometimes you have something that's just in you that needs to come out as a hopefully in a great sense and stuff. And sometimes you just gotta accept who you are and what you're meant to be and learn how to use your gifts in the right way and stuff and be a blessing to yourself and others. So.
And was there a time that you randomly had someone say, "Oh, I've seen the movie. Did you like it? Did you see the movie?" And what do you tell them?
Say it again.
You ever had someone say, "Oh, did you see the movie about Bugsy? I saw it. Did you like it? Did you ever seen your own movie and actually want to rewatch it?"
You know what? To be honest, I like the, I'm gonna say it this way. I see the project as it's been built. So I don't have to see it after it's completely finished because I see it in in every stage of the movie project itself. And I think realistically, I think sometimes I think I've seen it during a premiere initially, but I don't go back and live in my own hype of the project. I just try to move forward. I like the movie for what the movie is and what the movie itself is about. But and yeah, I like all of the things as a fan of course of superheroes in general, right? But I don't focus on it too much as a creator of sorts. If that
Okay.
makes any sense.
And is Bugsy the only store that you have made, or you have other characters come up to
We have
life?
over 500 characters. Bugsy is just
Yeah.
the first character. So, like, again, we're always writing and creating and fixing and stuff of characters and ideas and crossovers. And to the extent that, you know how Justice League have a a mashup of all the characters at the and stuff. We're in that stage right now. We're building out all we have all the other characters built out, and we're right now building out our superhero mashup. But again, because it's we're not there yet to release it as a movie project, we're just taking our time to release the movies as they come about. But again, it's sort of like just continues to write and create and draw and figuring out when to release projects and when not to and so, which is fun.
What has been your favorite media consumption of comics? From like movies to the comics to short novels, what is one you really resonate with?
I don't know. I don't have a favorite one, to be honest. Because we also write music as well. So like I will tell you like each medium will give you a different understanding of what the comic was trying to tell you to be from the beginning. So I love the comic because it's the actual initial verse, the story that most people know of, or sort of, kind of. But I like the added comprehension when you watching a movie or playing a video game or that we're working on or listening to the music that encompasses the movie and the soundtrack that comes with the movie project. It gives you more information about the characters themselves too and stuff that you may not get in the comic or you may not get in the movie itself. In the music, it gives you more understanding of certain people's relationships and who these people are and how do they become who they are and stuff, right?
True.
Like, so that to me, I like all of it for various different reasons, and just like building it, like I don't know, it's just a great thing to build, like something to build and something to tangibly be like, oh damn, like that's great, we finally bring that to life, like to see your creation, right, come to life in your hand and, or in your hand as a comic book or as a movie project or as a figurine or as a cereal box or as waters and other stuff, right? Gives you a proud parent moments and stuff of sorts that you can, you have it and you can share it with everybody else. It's everybody else's reactions to it that kind of make you be like, damn, like maybe I'm onto something, because everybody else's reactions to it, I prefer like to see their reactions to it. If they like it, I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it regardless, but I love seeing everybody else's reactions to the character and their interpretations of what they feel about the character and stuff.
True. Yeah, that's what I kind of feel like that when I make the podcast too. I mean, I might make it like casual friendly and family friendly and stuff like that, but the most powerful thing for me is I had two different stages. One, I actually had a co-host, we made content together, and then when the co-host bridged off, we didn't record anymore, I started looking for guests. Having guests talk about particular topics. Having featured speakers to talk, have a repeat guest to keep coming back on about different topics. That 2-on-1 or, you know, 1-on-1 interaction is what I like. I start making the content. Like, okay, this is the version of not just making content my own way, it's the interviewing side of it. I personally can relate to the people I have, and at the same time, I feel passionate about keep doing it. It's something that at the end of the day, it's my vision, but it's also low, it's low scale that can be brought up to a higher scale production.
Then too, your interpretation of a story may be different than somebody else's. Like you may have one way of thinking about it when you're writing, like say for instance, you're doing a podcast and you put together a podcast or you putting together a story or something else, right? You have one way of thinking about it and you're planning it one way, and it may to you, it may you want this point of view, a point of view from this standpoint. And then when you like release it to the rest of the world, they have a different point of view to what you're trying to do, which broadens your idea of like, oh, I didn't see that. Like for instance, there was a quote by I think the group Outkast, right? I think Andre 3000, he was saying, and I believe that. I think it was a quote he made. He was saying how he had went in the studio to make one of the albums. I think it was Stankonia or one of the albums that he had did, and he was saying that when he went into the studio, he had this one idea for the album in mind when he technically was in the process of writing it and performing it and going in the studio to record it, right? And when he released when they released the album, fans had a different idea of the album and reactions to the album and the different songs and how who they were and their attitudes and their and whatever. And he was like, huh, never thought about it in that way. I never thought about it in a way the fans thought about it, but once I got a chance to sit back and separate myself from the project itself, you got a chance to see why people would like think that or see that or whatever the case is, right?
And
Like
I
for instance, like the way Bugsy looked, the way Bugsy looks on the covers, like in a sense, the way Bugsy looks on the covers, there's explanation for that too. But like if I gave you, you might have your own opinion. Like if you look at like the pictures of Bugsy, right? Or Bugsy or whatever the case, you have your own way of thinking about them from the standpoint of just looking at them or looking at the posters and this and that or whatever. And I'm pretty sure if I told you the actual reason why certain things are certain way behind the scenes, it may be like it's maybe way simpler or way different than what you're thinking. But my way of our way of thinking about the books is way different. So yeah, I don't we try not to kill your the fans' joy of the books and just enjoy the fans' reactions to it.
I mean, I released a story. Hasn't been like mitten or anything like that. I have concept art and I did a bunch of work with it, trying to get it into reality. It's called Demoncu, Living in the Shadows. He is a used to be former king of his dimension, like a high ranking devil, to now a low ranking devil, but he falls from another dimension. From the sky, he falls in this village. He falls to the church. What ends up happening is the village seizes him as an angel, or like a falling angel, when he's really a lower-ranking demon in this new dimension. Well, the way I set it up was different characters himself, the chief elder, who's like basically. And he's explaining something, the chief is like, oh, well, yeah, that's fine. We can just worship you as an angel and call it a day. You're a blessing from heaven, so here you are. And then you have the townsfolk, just regular people, but they believe anything that the elder will tell them or misinterpret the low-ranking demon to, oh, it's a blessing. Oh, let's celebrate. Anything he would say, it turns into a huge popularity. Well, you had the brother of the elder chief who's against the new entity in town for the simple fact he thinks that he's a fallen angel, not an actual angel, and that he's here for mischievous things and can't be trusted. Well, he doesn't know that he's a demon, so he's the brother of the elder is trying to prove against the new figure in town and trying to plot against him to change the view of the townsfolk for him to be a bad guy. And then there's another character I introduced with my co-host at the time. We have a child who is like a thief bandit kind of thing, and he's blackmailing the devil, telling I'll take care of the brother and the chief if you I would not expose your secret, but I will help you along the way because I don't like what he's doing. So now he has a like an ally going against the brother, trying to unroot the schemes of the brother, trying to expose it.
Right.
So I had a lot of fun doing that story. It's still in the beginning stages. I had concept art together, but that took a very long time to get it together because I didn't find anyone to draw it. I want either a visual or a written point of view because the only thing I had was me and the co-host in live recording. Coming up as we go. So we did a pilot episode, how we're going to introduce the plot, what the story, what the first episode will look like, and what is going on. But after that, it's where the project is at right now. It's not expanded on, it's just a pilot episode proposal that we did for our original series. And it was interesting when I did it because I wanted visual. I had a cover art. I had that established, but I wanted more, which is the scene of him falling to the church, looking like a low-ranking devil. But what I also wanted was different scenes to be like visualized in prompts. So I was using prompts to use it to input and actually make the concept art. Now I have it. I have characters, backgrounds, who I'm establishing, that type of stuff. But all of that was based off the first pilot
But
episode.
I have a, but I have a, but I have a question for you. Do you have character bios?
No. The reason I haven't made it in character bios as an official series.
No. What I'm saying is, what I'm getting at is, like when we develop characters, right? We have two different things that we're working on simultaneously, but separate from each other,
Yes.
is that we're building the character bios, which shows you what the character would look like, like the blueprint to how the character would technically look.
Yes.
But I will also we also will write the idea of story. Like we have some of our stuff is art, and some of it's not. Like we have a some art that previous art that we technically still have. And based off those series of pieces of art, we've developed stories based on those pieces, and then developed other stories and other things.
Yeah.
Like me, I feel like me personally, I developed the character bio so I can get an idea of what the character looks like. But I have many pair when I initially start, we start drawing, like coming up with the concept for characters. We went back to when we were kids and pull out boxes of paragraphs and stuff of what the character, what we originally thought about the characters from when we first started them, and expanded on the paragraph story that we tend to think the description paragraph, and built out stories. And then from that, it was an action point of that initial story that spawned the rest of the stories and stuff.
Yeah, I do see where you're coming from with the bios, establishing more of the character, proof of concept. Most of my thing was pre-production. So when we recorded it live. So it was just on the fly improv. That was the first version of the story was.
But what I'm saying, like even with that, like there's a show that I will show like eventually, a show re-show. There's a show like sort of what what you're talking about. I have a show called Warzone Comics Inside Look, right? And in that series, it goes through like the movie project. So, sort of like it introduces you to all of the characters. Say we're doing Bugsy right now, right? So the first like the first episode of the issue. Of the TV show of the TV series part, it walk you through the idea of who all the characters are. And on the show, I'm narrating all of the characters, talking about all of the characters from their sides and who each in the like set up the story world. Like I will tell you about the story world and all the particular characters in that particular story, right? And then I will go and when I'm ready, I will set we're gonna set up a dude to do the next character in the next character and the next story. Like I'll tend to give you all the characters from that story and that story world. But basically, I'm saying that to say that sort of what you do what you're doing right now, we've done that too and stuff. But basically, we still want to be able to give you the concept art in the introduce you to the story world. So in a sense, you know how you have the concept art, right?
Well, yeah, I made the concept art after recording, but it took a long time to do so because I couldn't necessarily draw it. So it's hard for me to visualize what they look like. When I give people a visualization of what I was intending what the character looked like, they either said they can't do it, or they need storyboarding to do it, or the visualization for the story itself didn't come out. So I was able to have my graphic artists do inputs and prompts based off of other properties.
But I'm but what I'm saying what I was saying is No disrespect, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at, like, for instance, like Spider-Man. If you go online and look up Spider-Man, like his background, right? There's a book that's called the Marvel Encyclopedia that you can check out or look at and say like in the library, right? And it would give you for upcoming artists or artists who's starting out, it'll give you like a description of like the character and how the character, like the height, weight, size, et cetera, of the character, as well as like that way you can see, like, you know how in the bio to tell you, like, you know, like it'll basically give you like the idea he's Peter Parker, he's Spider-Man. Blah blah blah, his background, and then from that, you develop the idea of what the character looks like, and then from that, you can build on how it interacts with the world itself.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Character design is huge for the visual and concept of idea. I guess I haven't really taken it to the stage for more character design. I was thinking that was probably actually the next step that I was thinking of do. Like, put the concept art together, put pictures on it, and then put words to the actual character and words to the scene, and have a visualization book. But me with the as the, that's the visual novel that I wanted to make was that actually make a book about, you know, this is the character, this is what he does, this is his background, this is this character, and as they get introduced from the actual pilot episode, have little segments. This is this character. This is what they are about, and just have like a entry level concept into the story as a final piece of that.
Okay.
And I have not been able to take the proof of concept that I already have in the pilot episode to do anything more with it. I was lucky to get the show concept based off the different scenes that had going on and what I wanted to show as form of like illustration, but it was like more like 3D design.
Yeah.
We don't have inputs and different models and achieve a different model that finally looked the part and actually fit what I was going. So my visualization was, I have a rough idea what I want them to look like, but I need to tweak and find out in the visualization to actually finish proof of concept after I already said it.
Okay.
That was the tough part that I was having with creators to commission someone to actually help make it, was that they didn't have enough visualization to be able to do it, or they didn't feel like it would be too difficult or too time consuming.
For sure. No, but that's what I was getting at. That's what I figured when you mentioned the idea of creating an idea. In my experience of doing comics myself, right? I was going to give you an idea of like, hey, this can be better for you if you did it this way,
Yeah.
because you have the idea in your brain, right? And because you have the idea in your brain, not everybody's going to see how you see it. They're going to see it differently than you.
Yes.
And so, like, but if you give them a rough idea of what they should be seeing in their brain, then it'll be easier for them to visualize it with you.
That's
And I
why
said,
I was concept. That's what motivated me to do it, to get a strong proof of concept, get some scenes illustrated, get the characters illustrated, and have a proof of concept that people can actually visualize a story to actually write it or make it into panels. That was the original idea. Now, have I been able to do anything more with it? No, it's just been one of those projects that I was content with the proof of concept at the time, but still want to do more with the visualization book first. Because I want to put that book together and then have it as like, this is what I did, and this is what I did after the project, that, that's what we is basically the final product in that aspect. Now, do I need to be more aspirational to do more with it? Absolutely. How I'm going to do it, I have no idea.
For sure. That's Roland. I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with, for sure.
Because right now I'm doing a visual book as book of reference off the process I've already done.
A lookbook, basically.
Yeah, it's like a notebook, but it's like printed. It'll
No,
be.
no, man. You can either do a lookbook, like a lookbook,
Yeah.
that's giving you the background of all the things you want for the project itself.
I can definitely do a table of contents and then split pages what and character bios and get all that established.
For sure.
But what is one thing about comics that you haven't really talked about yet that you want to share with the audience?
It's just basically like how like there's one thing I the same thing what you're talking about. Like one thing I wanted to we want to technically do and we're in the process of doing is putting together for those who are interested, who want to put together their own books or ideas and stuff like that. Just learning how to show other people how to go about how we put together like books, how we put together comics, or how teaching other people how to put together comics and stories and concepts and other stuff, right? And make the world easier and stuff, right? Or sometimes how this character and these characters of our characters, how they interconnect to each other, how they independently of each other, but interconnect to each other to form bigger, how to form bigger stories and stuff, which is cool. I think realistically, like I jokingly tell people, like, you know how you have like Marvel and DC, which is no offense to them, but you know how you have a lot of their characters in the same city, like New York or something, right?
Yes.
And they never run into each other, but on occasionally of that they're running into each other, right? During fights. And you'd be like, okay, great. I don't like I'd be like, I'd be wondering me being a comic book artist, I'd be like, how can't they run into each other? I'd be like, but I get it. It's a different fight. So I get it. Like, but and like I'm learning more of that, like how to if they're in the same city or same part of the world of
Yeah.
how not have how to ha when to bring in crossovers and when to not bring in crossovers for books itself if they're in certain parts of the in same parts of the world itself.
Example of that, Daredevil again was actually bringing on different either anti-hero or vigilantes together based in New York and actually mentioned like two or three in the actual media itself. For example, Spider-Man was mentioned, but not mentioned by name, just web-slinging. Daredevil, of course, the Devil in Harlem, or in Hell's Kitchen. But then you also have the Tigo character as well.
If you ever seen this show, Luke Cage?
Yes, Luke Cage.
Remember how he ever he and Luke in Luke Cage they always mention Hell's Kitchen and Luke Cage, the story of Luke Cage?
Yes.
Well, in the story of Luke Cage in the TV series Luke Cage, if I'm not mistaken, in Hell's Kitchen, like he's in a different part of the city, but like The Hell's Kitchen, Hell's Kitchen, Hell's Kitchen encompasses several characters. One of the main characters that's in Hell's Kitchen is Daredevil in Hell's Kitchen. But because like they don't show him in the series itself, I don't think, or at least the stuff I've seen, but he mentioned the part of the city that he's technically in
Yeah,
itself.
so I'll connect Defenders. That was the Defenders saga. But Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and Daredevil all come together to defend the city from the invisible hand.
But they also, before they did that, they became heroes for hire.
Yes, they're street level, doing different missionaries and find the crime in the organized city brackets and syndicates.
But they become, well, Luke Cage become the new Avengers.
Yes, he is.
Him, Spider-Man, and Wolverine, and other people. Yeah.
But it's interesting because you see a progression of the different characters that we would know and how they will interact with characters in that area. But a lot of times, Marvel has crossovers. But the way they do them is like, oh, for one story, they'll have this crossover because they have this common enemy. Or in this story, this character might get mentioned, but it's mostly this character's story.
Yep.
Not necessarily an entire comic book series of a crossover, unless it's a specific thing they want to do in that book series.
Right.
So, as with crossovers go, it's mostly. They own the property rights, but it's also up to the artists envisioning a crossover event. It's really how they write them. That's how a lot of times when you have crossover events, it's an alternative story within either another universe or a different version of that character,
Right.
which is compellingly confusing on conflict and continuity of the comics itself. But that's a totally different conversation.
It's cool. I like it, but I love it. That's what makes me a comic book writer. That's what makes me love comics, because you have all these different stories, the different avenues, the different ways of thinking about stories and stuff. Which I love a lot, a life. I love a life a lot, actually.
Course of making what has now been MC Anime Podcast.
So,
Comics have been a huge inspiration for me, re-watching series that I watched as a kid based off of comics. And then when I watched the animated and DC animated shows, I started re-watching other childhood shows as well. So by me re-watching shows or watching in depth more than I actually did as a child, I started binge-watching different shows, binge-watching different series, to eventually binge watching all kinds of different anime properties like Naruto, One Piece, based off of comics, which is manga, and which made me want to blog about my reaction to what I saw, and then write a going back to my TV announcement days when I did TV production to make a visual and video to talk about fandom, culture, entertainment, and overall. Either pop or geek culture as well.
for sure.
But yeah, where can the audience find you in case they want to connect with you at the
Our website is Warzone Comics, WZC.com. And on all social media pages, we're under Warzone Comics. Yeah. So this is all good. And then if you want to be even more, if you want to email us, you can email us at Warzone Comics 23 at hotmail dot com. And if you want to reach the office for any reason, you can call us at the office. If we don't answer, you can leave a message. Our office is 424-732-9673.
All right. Well, Pinch Doors, thank you for being here. Thank you for talking about your experience with comics in different media and different mediums. It was a very nice episode, and I'm so glad to be having you as a guest and actually on this episode.
For sure. Thank you.
All right, guys.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.